Just as the Buddha said that of all the Buddhas who attained enlightenment, not one accomplished this without relying on the Master, he also said, "It is only through devotion and devotion alone that you will realize the absolute truth." The absolute truth cannot be realized within the domain of the ordinary mind. And the path beyond the ordinary mind, all the great wisdom traditions have told us, is through the heart. This path of the heart is devotion. When the Master is able to open your innermost heart and offers you an undeniably powerful glimpse of the nature of your mind, a wave of joyful gratitude surges up in you towards the one who helped you to see, and the truth that you now realize the Master embodies in his or her being, teachings, and wisdom mind. That uncontrived, genuine feeling is always rooted in repeated, undeniable inner experience, a repeated clarity of direct recognition. And this only, is what we call devotion. Devotion, then, is in one sense the most practical way of ensuring a total respect for, and therefore openness to, the teachings as embodied by the Master and transmitted through him or her. The more devoted you are, the more open you are to the teachings. The more open you are to the teachings, the more chance there is for them to penetrate your heart and mind, and so to bring about a complete spiritual transformation. All the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and enlightened beings are present at all moments to help us, and it is through the presence of the Master that all of their blessings are focused directly at us. All we need to do to receive direct help is to ask. What most of us need, almost more than anything, is the courage and humility really to ask for help from the depths of our hearts, to ask for the compassion of the enlightened beings, to ask for purification and healing, to ask for the power to understand the meaning of our suffering and to transform it. At a relative level, to ask for the growth in our lives of clarity, of peace, of discernment, and to ask for the realization of the absolute nature of mind that comes from merging with the deathless wisdom mind of the Master. There is no swifter, more moving, or more powerful practice for invoking the help of the enlightened beings, for arousing devotion and realizing the nature of mind, than the practice of Guru Yoga. Dingo Kensei Rinpoche wrote, "The words Guru Yoga mean union with the nature of the Guru, and in this practice we are given the methods by which we can blend our own minds with the enlightened mind of the Master. Remember that the Master, the Guru, embodies the crystallization of the blessings of all Buddhas, Masters, and enlightened beings. So to invoke him or her is to invoke them all, and to merge your mind and heart with your Master's wisdom mind is to merge your mind with the truth and very embodiment of enlightenment." All the wisdom traditions of Tibet have placed so much importance on the practice of Guru Yoga, and all the foremost Tibetan masters have treasured it as their innermost heart practice. Following is a simple practice of Guru Yoga that anyone, whatever their religion or spiritual belief, can do. This wonderful practice is Sogyal Rinpoche's main practice, the heart and inspiration of his whole life, and whenever he does Guru Yoga, it is Padmasambhava that he focuses on. As Buddha himself was passing away, he prophesied that Padmasambhava would be born not long after his death in order to spread the teachings of the Tantras. It was Padmasambhava who established Buddhism in Tibet in the 8th century. For Tibetans, Padmasambhava, or Guru Rinpoche as he is also called, embodies a cosmic, timeless principle. He is the universal master. He has appeared countless times to the masters of Tibet, giving teachings and prophecies. He also left thousands of visionary teachings for future times, which have been revealed again and again by many great masters who have been his emanations. One of these visionary treasures is the Tibetan Book of the Dead. In our tradition, we consider Padmasambhava as the embodiment of all one's masters. And so, when you merge your mind with him in Guru Yoga, all of them are included within him. You can, however, use any enlightened being, saint, or master from any religion or mystical tradition for whom you feel devotion, whether they are alive or not. This practice of Guru Yoga has four main phases: invocation, merging your mind with the master through his heart essence, the mantra, receiving the blessing or empowerment, and uniting your mind with the master and resting in the nature of Rigpa. The first stage is invocation. Sit quietly. From the depths of your heart, invoke in the sky in front of you the embodiment of truth in the person of your master, a saint, or an enlightened being. Try to visualize the master or Buddha as alive and as radiant and translucent as a rainbow. Believe with complete trust that all the blessings and qualities of the wisdom, compassion, and power of all the Buddhas and enlightened beings are embodied in him or her. If you have any difficulty visualizing the master, imagine this embodiment of truth simply as a being of light, or try to feel his or her perfect presence there in the sky before you, the presence of all the Buddhas and masters. Let all the inspiration, joy, and awe you feel take the place of visualization. Trust simply that the presence you are invoking is really there. The Buddha himself said, "Whoever thinks of me, I am in front of them." My master, Dzogchen Rinpoche, used to say that it does not matter if at the beginning you cannot visualize. What is more important is to feel the presence in your heart, and know that this presence embodies the blessings, compassion, energy, and wisdom of all the Buddhas. Relaxing and filling your heart with the master's presence, invoke him or her very strongly with all your heart and mind, with total trust. Call upon him or her inwardly. Help me. Inspire me to purify all my karma and negative emotions, and to realize the true nature of my mind. Then, with deep devotion, merge your mind with the master, and rest your mind in his or her wisdom mind. And as you do so, give yourself up to the master completely, saying to yourself something like, "Help me now, take care of me. Fill me with your joy and energy, your wisdom and compassion. Gather me into the loving heart of your wisdom mind. Bless my mind, inspire my understanding." Then Dingo Kyanso Rinpoche says, "There is no doubt that the blessing will enter your heart." When we undertake this practice, it is a direct, skillful, and powerful way to carry us beyond our ordinary mind and into the pure realm of the wisdom of Rigpa. There we recognize, come to discover, and acknowledge that all Buddhas are present. So, feeling the living presence of Buddha, of Padmasambhava, of your master, and simply opening your heart and mind to the embodiment of truth really does bless and transform your mind. As you invoke the Buddha, your own Buddha nature is inspired to awaken and blossom as naturally as a flower in sunlight. The second stage of Guru Yoga is maturing and deepening the blessing. When you come to this part of the practice, merging your mind with the master through the mantra, recite the mantra, "Om Ahum Benza Guru Padma Siddhi Hum," thinking of it as actually being Padmasambhava and the blessing of all the masters in the form of sound. Imagine your whole being filled with him, and feel as you recite the mantra, which is his heart essence, that it vibrates and pervades you, as if hundreds of little Padmasambhavas in the form of sound were circulating inside you, transforming your whole being. Using the mantra, then, offer your heart and soul in fervent and one-pointed devotion, and merge and mix and blend your mind with Padmasambhava or your master. Gradually, you will feel yourself coming closer to Padmasambhava and closing the gap between you and his wisdom mind. Slowly, through the blessing and power of this practice, you will find you actually experience your mind being transformed into the wisdom mind of Padmasambhava and the Master. You begin to recognize their indivisibility. Just as if you put your finger into water, it will get wet, and if you put it into fire, it will burn, so if you invest your mind in the wisdom mind of the Buddhas, it will transform into their wisdom nature. What happens is that gradually your mind begins to find itself in a state of Rigpa, as the innermost nature of your mind is nothing other than the wisdom mind of all the Buddhas. It is as if your ordinary mind gradually dies and dissolves, and your pure awareness, your Buddha nature, your inner teacher, is revealed. This is the true meaning of blessing, a transformation in which your mind transcends into the state of the Absolute. This maturing of the blessing is the heart and main part of the practice to which you should devote the most time when you do the Guru Yoga practice. The third stage is empowerment. Imagine now that from the Master thousands of brilliant rays of light stream out toward you and penetrate you, purifying, healing, blessing, empowering, and sowing in you the seeds of enlightenment. Know and feel that you are now empowered through the blessing with the indestructible body, speech, and mind of Padmasambhava, of all the Buddhas. The fourth stage is resting in the Rigpa. Now let the Master dissolve into light and become one with you in the nature of your mind. Recognize beyond any doubt that this sky-like nature of your mind is the Absolute Master. Where else would all enlightened beings be but in the Rigpa, in the nature of your mind? Secure in that realization, in a state of spacious and carefree ease, you rest in the warmth, glory and blessing of your Absolute Nature. You have arrived at the original ground, the primordial purity of natural simplicity. As you rest in this state of Rigpa, you recognize the truth of Padmasambhava's words. Mind itself is Padmasambhava. There is no practice or meditation apart from that. This is the most important practice in life and the most important practice at the moment of death. Guru Yoga forms the basis of the practice of Powa, the transference of consciousness at the moment of death. For if, at the moment of death, you can unite your mind confidently with the wisdom mind of the Master and die in that peace, then all will be well. Our task in life, then, is to practice this merging with the wisdom mind of the Master again and again, so that it becomes so natural that every activity, sitting, walking, eating, drinking, sleeping, dreaming and waking, starts to be increasingly permeated by the Master's living presence.
No one can die fearlessly and in complete security until they have truly realized the nature of mind. For only this realization, deepened over years of sustained practice, can keep the mind stable during the modern chaos of the process of death. Of all the ways I know of helping people to realize the nature of mind, that of the practice of Dzogchen, the most ancient and direct stream of wisdom within the teaching of Buddhism, and the source of the Parado teachings themselves, is the clearest, most effective, and most relevant to the environment and needs of today. The origins of Dzogchen are traced to the primordial Buddha, Samantabhadra, from whom it has been handed down in an unbroken line of great masters to the present day. Hundreds of thousands of individuals in India, the Himalayas and Tibet have attained realization and enlightenment through its practice. There's a wonderful prophecy that in the dark age, the heart essence of the Samantabhadra will blaze like fire. My life, my teachings, and this book are dedicated to lightening this fire in the hearts and the minds of the world. My constant support and inspiration and guide in this is the Supreme Master Padmasambhava, who is the essential spirit of Dzogchen, its greatest exponent and its human embodiment, with his glorious quality of magnanimity, miraculous power, prophetic vision, and awakened energy and boundless compassion. Dzogchen is not simply a teaching, not another philosophy, not another elaborate system, not a seductive clutch of techniques. Dzogchen is a state, the primordial state, that state of total awakening that is the heart essence of all the Buddhas and all the spiritual paths, and the summit of an individual spiritual evolution. Dzogchen is often translated as great perfection, but I prefer to leave it untranslated, for great perfection carries a sense of perfectness we have to strive to attain, a goal that lies at the end of a long and grueling journey. Nothing could be further from the true meaning of Dzogpa Chenpo, which is the already self-perfected state of our primordial nature, which needs no perfecting, for it has always been perfect from the beginning, just like the sky. All the Buddhist teachings are explained in terms of ground, path, and fruition. The ground of Dzogpa Chenpo is this fundamental primordial state, our absolute nature, which is already perfect and always present. So from the point of view of ground, the absolute, our nature is the same as the Buddha's. And there is no question at this level, nor has a breath, the master say, of teaching or practice to do. Yet we have to understand, the Buddhas took one path and we took another. Buddhas recognized their original nature and became enlightened. We do not recognize that nature and so became confused. In the teaching, the state of affairs is called the one ground, two paths. Our relative condition is that our intrinsic nature is obscured, and we need to follow the teachings and practice in order to return to the truth. This is the path of Dzogpa Chenpo. Finally, to realize our original nature is to attain complete liberation and become the Buddha. This is the fruition of Dzogpa Chenpo, and is actually possible if a practitioner really put his or her heart and mind to it in one lifetime. What then for me is the wonder of Dzogchen? All of the teachings lead to enlightenment, but the uniqueness of the Dzogpa Chenpo is that even in the relative dimension of the teachings, the language of Dzogchen never stains the absolute with concepts. It leaves the absolute unspoiled in its naked, dynamic, majestic simplicity, yet still speaks of, to anyone, of an open mind in terms so graphic, so electric, that even before we become enlightened, we are graced with the strongest possible glimpse of the splendor of the waking state. The practical training of the Dzogchen path is traditionally and most simply described in terms of view, meditation and action. To see directly the absolute state, the ground of our being, is the view. The way of stabilizing that view and making it an unbroken experience is meditation. And integrating the view into our entire reality in life is what is meant by action. What then is the view? It is nothing less than seeing the actual state of things as they are. It is knowing that the true nature of mind is the true nature of everything. And it is realizing that the true nature of a mind is the absolute truth. Dzogchen Rinpoche says, "The view is the comprehension of the naked awareness within which everything is contained, the sensory perception and the phenomenal existence, the samsara and nirvana. This awareness has two aspects, emptiness as the absolute and appearances or perception as the relative." What this means is that the entire range of all possible appearances and all possible phenomena in all the different realities, whether samsara or nirvana, all of these, without exception, have always been, will always be perfect and complete within the vast and boundless expanse of the nature mind. Yet even though the essence of everything is empty and pure from the beginning, its nature is rich in noble qualities, pregnant with every possibility, are limitless, incessantly, dynamically creative field that is always spontaneously perfect. You might ask, if realizing the view is the realizing the nature of mind, what then is the nature of mind like? Imagine a sky empty, spacious, and pure from the beginning. Its essence is like this. Imagine a sun, luminous, clear, unobstructed, and spontaneously present. Its nature is like this. Imagine that sun shining out impartially on us and all things, penetrating all direction. Its energy, which is the manifestation of compassion, is like this. Nothing can obstruct it, and it pervades everywhere. You can also think of the nature of mind like a mirror, with five different powers or wisdoms. Its openness and vastness is the wisdom of all-encompassing space, the womb of compassion. Its capacity to reflect in precise detail whatever comes before it is the mirror-like wisdom. Its fundamental lack of any bias toward any impression is the equalizing wisdom. Its ability to distinguish clearly, without confusing in any way, the various different phenomena that arises is the wisdom of discernment. And its potential of having everything already accomplished, perfected, and spontaneously present is the all-encompassing wisdom. In Dzogchen, the view is introduced to the student directly by the master. It is the directness of this introduction that characterizes Dzogchen. What is transmitted to the student in the introduction is the direct experience of the wisdom mind of the Buddhas through the blessing of the master, who embodies its complete realization. To be able to receive the introduction, the students have to have arrived at a point where, as a result of past aspirations and purified karma, they have both the openness of mind and devotion to make them receptive to the true meaning of Dzogchen Rinpoche. In our tradition, we say that three authentics must be present for the nature mind to be introduced. The blessing of an authentic master, the devotion of an authentic student, and the authentic lineage of the method of introduction. These are the three authentics. The President of the United States cannot introduce you to the nature mind, nor can your father or your mother. It doesn't matter how powerful someone may be or how much they love you. It can only be introduced by someone who has fully realized it and who carries the blessing and experience of the lineage. And you, the student, must find and constantly nourish that openness, breadth of vision, willingness, enthusiasm, and reverence that will change the whole atmosphere of your mind and make you receptive to the true meaning of the introduction. That is what is meant by devotion. Without it, the master may introduce you, but the student will not recognize. The introduction to the nature mind is only possible when both the master and the student enter into the experience together. Only in that meeting of minds and hearts will the student realize. The method is also of crucial importance. It is the very same method that has been tried and tested for thousands of years and enabled the masters of the past themselves to attain realization. How can the wisdom mind of the Buddhas be introduced? Imagine the nature mind as your own face. It is always with you, but you cannot see it without help. Now imagine that you've never seen a mirror before. The introduction by the master is like holding up a mirror, suddenly in which you can for the first time see your own face reflected. Just like your face, this pure awareness of Rigpa is not something new that the master is giving you which you did not have before, nor is it something you could possibly find outside of yourself. It has always been yours and has always been with you, but up until that starting moment, you've never actually seen it directly. The great master Patrimpa explains that according to the special tradition of the great masters of the practice lineage, the nature mind, the face of Rigpa, is introduced upon the very dissolution of the conceptual mind. In the moment of introduction, the master cuts through the conceptual mind altogether, laying bare the naked Rigpa and revealing explicitly its true nature. In that powerful moment, a merging of mind and heart takes place, and the student has an undeniable experience or glimpse of our nature of Rigpa. In one and the same moment, the master introduces, the student recognizes. As the master directs his blessing from the wisdom of his Rigpa into the heart of the Rigpa of his student, the master shows the student directly the original face of the nature of mind. For the master's introduction to be fully effective, however, the right conditions or environment have to be created. The introduction must almost always be preceded by the following preliminaries. It is these preliminaries that purify and peel away the ordinary mind and bringing you to the state wherein your Rigpa can be revealed to you. First, meditation, the supreme antidote to distraction, brings the mind home and enables it to settle into its natural state. Second, deep practices of purification and the strengthening of positive karma through the accumulation of merit and wisdom start to wear away and dissolve the emotional and intellectual veils that obscures the nature mind. As my master Jamin Khyentse wrote, If the obscurations are removed, the wisdom of Aum Rigpa will naturally shine. These purification practices, called Kundo in Tibetan, have been skillfully designed to effect a comprehensive inner transformation. They involve the entire being, body, speech and mind, and begin with a series of deep contemplation on the uniqueness of human life, the ever-presence of impermanence and death, the infallibility of cause and effect of our actions, the vicious cycle of frustration and suffering that is samsara. These reflections inspire a strong sense of renunciation, an urgent desire to emerge from samsara and follow the path to liberation, which forms the foundation for the specific practices of taking refuge in the Buddha, the truth of his teachings and example of its practitioners, and so awakening our confidence and trust in our own inner Buddha nature. Giving birth to compassion, bodhicitta, the heart of enlightened mind, and training the mind to work with ourselves and others and the difficulties of life. Next, removing obscuration, defilement to the visualization and the mantra practice of purification and healing. Then, accumulating merit and wisdom by developing universal generosity and creating auspicious circumstances. All these practices build up to and center around the Guru Yoga, which is the most crucial, moving and powerful practice of all, indispensable for the opening of heart and mind to the realization of the state of Lokachampu. Third, a special meditative investigation into the nature of mind and phenomena exhausts the mind's restless hunger for thinking and research, and its dependence on endless conceptualizing, analysis and references, and awakens a personal realization of the nature of emptiness. I cannot stress strongly enough how important these preliminaries are. They have to work hand to hand, systematically, to inspire the student to awaken the nature mind, and to enable the student to be ready and prepared when the master chooses the time to show him or her the original face of Rigpa. Kyoshu Lungtok, who later became one of the greatest Dzogchen masters of recent times, followed his teacher Patrumbuche for about 18 years. During all that time, they were almost inseparable. Kyoshu Lungtok studied and practiced extremely diligently and accumulated wealth of purification, merit and practice. He was ready to recognize the Rigpa, but had not yet had the final introduction. Then one famous evening, Patrumbuche gave him the introduction. It happened when they were staying together in one of the hermitages high up in the mountains above the famous Dzogchen monastery in eastern Tibet. It was a very beautiful night. The dark blue sky was clear and the stars shone brilliantly. The sound of their solitude was heightened by the distant barking of a dog from the monastery below. Patrumbuche was lying stretched out on the ground doing a special Dzogchen practice, and he called Nyoshi Lungtok over to him saying, "Did you say that you do not know the essence of the mind?" Nyoshi Lungtok guessed from his tone that this was a very special moment and nodded expectantly. "There is nothing to it really," Patrumbuche said casually. "My son, come and lie down over here like your father." Nyoshi Lungtok stretched out by his side, and then Patrumbuche asked him, "Do you see the stars up there in the sky?" "Yes," said Nyoshi Lungtok. "Do you hear the dog barking in the Dzogchen monastery?" asked Patrumbuche. "Yes," said Nyoshi Lungtok. "Do you hear what I'm saying to you?" "Yes," said Nyoshi Lungtok. Well, the nature of Dzogchen was simply this. The Nyoshin Ngtuk tells us what happened then. At that instant, I arrived at a certainty of realization from within. I had realized the primordial wisdom, the naked union of emptiness and intrinsic awareness. I was introduced to this realization by his blessing, as the great Indian master Saraha said, he in whose heart the words of the master have entered sees the truth like a treasure in his own palm. At that moment, everything fell into place. The fruit of all Nyojin Lungtuk's years of learning, purification practice, was born. He attained the realization of the nature mind. There was nothing extraordinary or esoteric or mystical about the words Paramahansa used. In fact, they were extremely ordinary. But beyond the words, something else was being communicated. What he was revealing was the inherent nature of everything, which is the true meaning of Dzogchenpo. At that moment, he had already brought Nyoshin Lungtuk directly into the state of Dzogchenpo through the power and the blessing of his realization. I'm going to attempt now to give some sense of what the view is like and how it feels when the Rigpa is directly revealed, even though all words and conceptual terms fail really to describe it. The Dzogchen says, that moment is like taking a hood off your head. What boundless spaciousness and relief. This is the supreme seeing, seeing what was not seen before. When you see what was not seen before, everything opens, expands and becomes crisp, clear, brimming with life, riddled with wonder, freshness. It is as if the roof of your mind were flying off, or a flock of birds suddenly took off from the dark nest. All limitations dissolve and fall away, as if, the Tibetans say, a seed were broken open. Imagine you were living in a house on the top of a mountain, which was itself at the top of the whole world. Suddenly, the entire structure of the house, which limited your view, just falls away, and you can see all around you, both outside and inside. But there is not anything to see. What happens has no ordinary reference whatsoever. It is total, complete, unprecedented, perfect seeing. Dhrimamacharya says, your deadliest enemies, the ones who have kept you tied to samsara through countless lives from the beginning of time until the present, are the grasping and the grasped. When the master introduces and you recognize, these two are burned away completely like feathers in the flame, leaving no trace. Both grasping the grasp, what is grasp and grasper, are completely freed from their very basis. The roots of ignorance and suffering are severed utterly, and all things appear like a reflection in a mirror, transparent, shimmering, illusory, and dreamlike. When you naturally arrive at the state of meditation, inspired by view, you can remain there for a long time without any distraction or special effort. Then there is nothing called meditation to protect or sustain, for you are in the natural flow of the wisdom of Rigpa. And you realize, when you are in it, that it is how it has always been and is. When the wisdom of Rigpa shines, not one shadow of doubt can remain, and a deep, complete understanding rises effortlessly and directly. all the images I have given and the metaphors I have tried to use, you will discover to be fused in one all-comprehensive experience of truth. Devotion is in that state. The compassion is in that state. And all the wisdom, the bliss, clarity, and the absence of thought, but not separate from one another, all integrated and linked inextricably with each other in one taste. This moment is the moment of awakening. A profound sense of humor wells up from within, and you smile in amusement at how inadequate all your former concepts and ideas about the nature of mind were. What springs from this is a growing sense of tremendous and unshakable certainty and conviction that this is it. There's nothing further to seek, nothing more that could possibly be hoped for. The certainty of you is what has to be deepened through glimpse after glimpse of the nature mind and stabilized through the continuous discipline of meditation. What then is meditation, Dzogchen? It is simply resting undistracted interview once it has been introduced. The Jumamacha describes it. Meditation consists of being attentive to such a state of Rigpa, free from all mental constructions, whilst remaining fully relaxed, without any distraction or grasping. For it is said that meditation is not striving, but naturally becoming assimilated into it. The whole point of Dzogchen meditation practice is to strengthen and stabilize Rigpa and allow it to grow to full maturity. The ordinary habitual mind with its projections is extremely powerful. It keeps returning and takes hold of us easily when we are inattentive or distracted. As Dzogchen Rinpoche used to say, at present our Rigpa is like a little baby, stranded on the battlefield of strong rising thoughts and emotions. I like to say that we have to begin by babysitting our Rigpa in the secure environment of meditation. If meditation is simply to continue the flow of Rigpa after the introduction, how do we know when it is Rigpa and when it is not? I asked my master, Tengkin Sumbichir, this question, and he replied with his characteristic simplicity. If you are in an unaltered state, it is Rigpa. If we are not contriving or manipulating the mind in any way, but simply resting in an unaltered state of pure and pristine awareness, then it is Rigpa. If there is any contriving on our part, or any kind of manipulating or grasping, it is not. Rigpa is a state in which there is no longer any doubt. There is not really a mind to doubt. You see directly, if you are in the state, a complete natural certainty and confidence surges up with the Rigpa itself. And that is how you know. Perhaps the most important point is that Dzogchen meditation comes to be a continual flow of Rigpa, like a great river constantly moving day and night without any interruption. This, of course, is an ideal state for this undistracted resting in the view once it has been introduced and recognized is the reward of years of sustained practice. The master stresses that to stabilize the view in meditation, it is essential, first of all, to accomplish this practice in a special environment of retreat, where all the favorable conditions are present. Amid the distraction and the busyness of the world, however much you meditate, true experience will not be born in your mind. Second, though there is no difference in reality in Dzogchen between meditation and everyday life, until you have found true stability through doing the practice in proper sessions, you will not be able to integrate the wisdom of meditation into the experience of daily life. Third, even when you practice, you might be able to abide by the continued flow of Rigpa with the confidence of the view. But if you are unable to continue that flow at all times in all situations, mixing your practice with everyday life, it will not serve as a remedy when unfavorable circumstances arise and you will be led astray into delusion by thoughts and emotions. As abiding by the flow of Rigpa becomes a reality, it begins to permeate the practitioner's everyday life and action and breeds a deep stability and confidence. Dhrimacharya says, action is being truly observant of your own thoughts, good or bad, looking into the true nature of whatever thoughts may arise, neither tracing the past nor inviting the future, neither allowing any clinging to experience of joy, nor being overcome by sad situations. In so doing, you try to reach and remain in the state of great equilibrium, where all good and bad, peace and distress, are devoid of true identity.